And we got to bring in the man who is a Sixers legend. He's also a TNT legend. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. He is the man, Charles Barkley. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, man, everything's rosy in Philly right now. Congratulations on the number one pick.
How about that? Awesome. The tanking worked, Chuck.
Well, first of all, I've always told you that the tanking was kind of overskewed by the Embiid injury. I think that's the one thing. And I've told you, I said, man, the Sixers not nearly as bad as the situation. They just got screwed by the Embiid thing. And I think when Saric comes over here next year, I think I'll tell you what's going to be interesting. Mike, who you like with the number one
pick? I love Ben Simmons with the number one pick. Love him.
We just happen to disagree.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you want Ingram.
I like Ingram. I do. There's a couple things that make me nervous about Ben Simmons. Number one, I don't understand why he didn't want to play in the NIT. First of all, if you're a basketball player, that's what you do. You play basketball. And secondly, I have no idea why he's not going to play in the Olympics this summer. I mean, why wouldn't you want to play against...
Well, he knows he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He wants to preserve his health.
It would help. He's going to be the number one pick or number two pick. He's going to get a guaranteed deal. He's going to make a lot of money from one of the shoe companies. Why doesn't he want to play? That's the best competition. That's the best competition to get ready for the NBA.
See, Chuck, you're a basketball guy. You're hurting me deeply now. You look at the both of those players side by side. One's got a more abundant skills than the other.
I don't know about that. I'm telling you. I don't dislike Simmons. I don't dislike him, but I like Brandon Ingram. And like I say, listen, that's going to be a big decision now. There's going to be a big decision.
You know Simmons can play 1-5. He can play all those positions and create a mismatch at every one of those positions. Brandon Ingram's just a 3. That's all he is.
Well, there's a lot of great 3s. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get to see Ben Simmons play that much because LSU didn't do anything. They never.
No, they didn't. But that doesn't mean he can't be a great player.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying he didn't dominate the SEC. That's awful. That should concern you. Like, wait a minute. He didn't dominate the SEC. The SEC was awful. And he couldn't even get him to the NCAA tournament against that competition? Are you kidding me? That doesn't like I say, I don't know who's going to be. I don't care what they did in college. I want to wait till they get to the NBA. But they're also like, wait a minute. He didn't dominate the SEC. That's a fair, legitimate question.
It is, but you know how kids go to a college, the college coaches and trying to install his system, the kid's trying to be unselfish, he's trying to fit in, all those things. Wiggins was the same way. They looked at Wiggins and said, how come he's not dominating that competition?
Yeah, but listen, man, it's going to be perplexing and fun to watch. I like I said, I don't care about what guys did in college. I want to see when they get to the NBA. And the Sixers, that's a big decision for them.
All right. Go ahead.
Hey, how about my Phillies? How about my Phillies?
How about your Phillies?
I've been calling Rick Sutcliffe every time the Phillies win. He says, well, they are playing better than expected. But he said, you're only about 15 games behind my Cubs. But I'm proud of it. I'm very proud, man.
How about
very
the city?
Proud.
The city's looking up all of a sudden. Chuck, all 4 teams are on the way up.
Well, what the Eagles, when they up?
Well,
they got
the second pick in the draft. They got their quarterback. You like that,
and
right?
Listen, and they gave away all their wife and kids.
Yeah, but you got to have the quarterback, Chuck.
No, listen, we don't know what he is.
Well, we're gonna find out soon. We're gonna find out.
But the only problem is he ain't gonna have no weapons because you're gonna give away the draft the next 3 years. Come on, man. Listen, I hope first of all, you know I want to see the Eagles do well, but giving away all those picks is crazy. That's the same thing the Redskins did. I don't believe in giving up all those number one picks unless.
They only gave up one number one pick.
Well, in football, twos and threes matter.
They gave a 1, 2, and a 3 in this deal, and they swapped out a 1 and a 4. They're fine.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. I think they're fine. You know, in the year 2020, Charles, all 4 teams predicted here, all 4 teams will be contenders.
Wait, it's 2016. I got to wait 4 years.
You got to wait 4 years. You'll be alive. In 4 years, you'll be still going.
Hey, barely be alive. Hey, I tell you what. If Embiid can play, and Sarver comes over, which he's probably going to because the salary cap's going up, I think the Sixers got a chance of making the playoffs. I really do.
Next year?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see that. But I got to ask you a question. With the glut of big men, they got six big men now on their roster. Once they take Simmons, they'll have six big men. Who do you trade?
Well, you can't trade Embiid or Okafor because you got to wait and see if Okafor can play. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean,
Embiid, you have to wait until Embiid can play. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to wait and see if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Number one.
Right.
Then you got to figure out if he can play. You got two things: can he stay healthy and can he play? He hasn't played basketball in 2 years, so we don't know. I'd probably trade Noel because I would because I'm not sure. You probably can get something good for him. I really like Saric. I think Saric is better. I think he's going to be like Porzingis. I do. I think he's going to be Porzingis going to surprise some people. But I like Okafor. So probably the one guy I would trade is probably Noel.
Yeah, he's probably the only guy you can trade right now. Now, listen, you're knee-deep in the NBA playoffs. I got to ask you about what's going to happen here with the Cleveland Cavaliers against. I know you think the Thunder can beat the Big Bad Warriors. I don't want to see that, but you actually think that's going to happen?
Well, I picked them to win in six. I feel pretty good. They got to win the next two games in Oklahoma City. I think, you know, I'm not going to overreact after game one, and I'm not going to overreact over game two. The Thunder got to win the next two games. They're going to be, those are huge. They got to win those two to keep home court.
Now, why did you pick the Thunder over the Warriors?
Well, because I think that they were going to be too big for them, which they were in game one. Game two, they kind of just let down because they were happy with the split. And if you go back and actually look at the regular season, they should have won two out of three of those games. I think they are playing a little bit tougher mentally. They just play dumb sometimes. They got more talent than any team in the NBA. They just do dumb stuff. That's the only thing that ever concerns me in the last 5 minutes when I'm watching OKC play. They just they make too many mental mistakes. But I thought they had grown up since the San Antonio series. And I think they got a good chance of winning this series. They just got to win the next two games.
All right, let's take if it's the Thunder or the Warriors in the finals against Cleveland, who you got?
Cleveland's gonna win the championship no matter who comes out.
You got the Cavs winning the whole thing right now.
I do. I got the Cavs. I've said it for the last 2 weeks. I think they finally figured out that they can actually pass the ball to Kevin Love. LeBron were kind of relinquished, like, I got to have the ball all the time. They trust, you know, Tyron, he's talking about, he said, I'm going to put Kevin Love and Kyrie out there together and take LeBron out the game. Those guys are a hell of a player. But, you know, LeBron was so used to doing everything himself, he didn't take advantage of those guys last year during the regular season or early in the playoffs before they got hurt. But if they're healthy, they're a team to beat, in my opinion. Let me tell you something. In the words of the late, great Moses Malone, the Eastern Conference, and I said it, going to be 4-4-4.
Yeah. Well, 4-4-4, and then what?
Well, I think the Cavaliers, they switched the format up. You know, they went back to 2-2-1-1-1.
Yep.
So, but I like the Cavaliers, whoever they play, in six.
I do too. I actually like him in six myself. So I hope I'm not jinxing your selection here. Now I know you've
That's like my daughter. I told my daughter, you know, I invited her to the Final Four. You can't jinx anybody, Mike. I invited my daughter to the Final Four, and she says, "Dad, I'm coming to the Final Four." Then she calls me back and say, "I don't want to go. I don't want to jinx Villanova." I said, "Let me tell you something. All that money I pay for you to get a Villanova education, if you're dumb enough to think whether you go to the game or not has an effect on whether your team wins or loses, I could have sent you to community college."
So she did wind up going?
No, she didn't go.
Oh, she didn't go.
No, she just went to the same Villanova bar and watched. They've been doing it for like, they go to watch every Villanova game. She's in New York.
Yeah,
they've been doing it for the last 5 years. They go get together and watch every Villanova game at a Villanova bar. So I was really more happy for her when they won because she loves Villanova. It's a great school. I was happy for Jay and all of those guys.
By the way, did you put a little side bet on the Wildcats?
No, I didn't put money on the game because I didn't think they could win, to be honest with you, because North Carolina, they just outplayed
North Carolina. Interesting. You would have got a nice money line on that.
No, because I think it was only like a 2-point line. I think somebody told them they were favored by a 2, mm-hmm. which I told somebody, those guys in Vegas are very seldom wrong. When I saw the bet line, I said, man, Villanova might win this thing. Because I actually thought that North Carolina was going to be favored by 6 or 7, something like that. When the line came out and it was only 2, I was like, wow, Villanova might win this game. But I still thought North Carolina. But, man, Jay had a great game plan, and those kids played great.
By the way, let me laud you for what I thought were some of the most entertaining commercials ever with that road trip with you and Samuel L. and Spike Lee. They were hysterical.
Thank you, my brother. They're fun guys to work with. You know, I've been with those guys like 3 or 4 years now, and it's been a lot of fun. And I appreciate that, my brother.
Yeah, how much did they pay you for those commercials? what was the fee? Did you get more because you're the top draw, man. You had to get more than Samuel L. and Spike.
Oh, I don't know how much those guys got paid. I don't know. It doesn't work like that. They don't. But I'm very well compensated.
Well, let me ask you, Mill? More than a mil?
Well, let's just say this. I'm very well compensated for my commercial.
Oh, come on, man. You got to give me a range, a price range.
Well, let's just say stay where you started. How about that?
All right, so I'm a mil is in the area we were talking about. It's probably more than that because you're the star of the show. Because you're the one that had to play dumb.
No. I charge the same for all commercials. I do two commercials a year because I don't want to overexpose myself.
I got you.
I do Cap One, and I've been doing CGW, but I don't do more than two a year because I don't think people want to see you on TV all the time. No, I get great companies, but I charge the same price for because I want to give them my best, and I'm not trying to rip them off.
That's noble of you, man. I would rip them off. Your price tag is going to be way up because you're good in these commercials. Now, thank you very much. You also did a mock town hall with Anderson Cooper and Conan O'Brien at Madison Square Garden, and you ripped CNN for selling their soul.
Well, because, you know, they're the reason. First of all, I love CNN. But Donald Trump is the perfect internet-type candidate. And I've always liked Donald Trump until this stuff started happening. I met him like 5 or 6 times. He's always been great to me. But I didn't like all the stuff he was saying. And CNN followed every sound bite, every insult. And it really just pissed me off. Because my thing is, Mike, I don't care who the president is. Let's be realistic. I mean, but I feel bad for these ordinary people out there who these politicians, they're supposed to take care of us. That's who I feel bad for. And I think they act like immigrants. I live in Arizona, and I think the Hispanic people are amazing. To act like they're the biggest problem in our country is a joke. Nobody ever complains about all the jobs that we ship overseas. That's the thing that pisses me off the most about the whole, when they talk about immigration, don't act like he's Hispanic. These people are amazing. It's 100 degrees out here, and they're out there working. I don't understand that. But I don't understand why people complain that they ship all our jobs overseas. That, to me, is a bigger problem than a few Hispanics over here working their behind off. And CNN, I thought they sold their soul for ratings, so we were in last place. And this is going to be the weirdest, it already has been the weirdest election ever, and it's going to get more weird, to be honest with you, because I think it's going to come down to who they pick as their VP. Because you really got two candidates that nobody like. And I think whoever picks the best VP is going to win, to be honest with you.
Did you read the comments by Ed Rendell? I'm curious to know what your comments
are. I didn't hear him. I didn't.
He was trying to rip Trump, and he was saying that Trump is going to lose a lot of the Republican women votes because he made comments like, you can't be a 10 if you're flat-chested. And then he said, there are probably more ugly women in America than attractive women. People take that stuff personally. That was Ed Rendell saying that. You got any comment on that?
No, you know, I love Governor. I love Mayor Governor Rendell. He's always been great. I see him every summer when I'm in Philly. Man, that's the one weird thing about the media. They always bring up stuff that happened. Like right now, they really, I've been reading and watching for the last 2 or 3 weeks. They're bringing up stuff Trump said like 20 years ago when he was trying to probably be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. We got real problems. And that's the thing I don't like about the whole media thing is for us, dude, let's solve problems. So Donald Trump calling women ugly and fat, we've all done that in jest or in private. Let's get some problems solved. We got the worst public school system in the world, first and foremost. We need to fix that. We got all these bad bridges and roads that we need fixed. Those are real problems. Him joking about calling somebody flat-chested, first of all, nobody likes flat-chested women. I mean, who goes around saying, let's look for some of those? Nobody says that, do they?
I kind of like flat-chested women.
Come on, Mike. Stop.
Nothing wrong with that. It's all about the face to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, but nobody, when he says stuff, like, clearly he says it in jest.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, come on, man.
I got
you. Take stuff
but Eddie came back over the top, man. He lost some points. Hey, let me ask you about this. The Huffington Post 2 days ago ran a story that you were banned from the Wynn and MGM's all-you-can-eat buffets. Is that true?
First of all, I don't eat at buffets. and nothing wrong with buffets.
Did you see the story?
Dude, I look like a guy who reads the Huffington Post?
No, you don't.
Come on, man, stop it. Come on. I don't read the Huffington Post.
All right, what about this rapper who ripped you in his rap song? Did you hear about this?
I did not.
Willie D is a rapper. And he took you on, he's from Houston. He took you on. You want me to give you a lyric?
Yeah, give me a lyric.
He said, listen up, Charles Barkley. You light-skinned, but still calling you a darkie. The only reason they put the mic in your face is so you can do dirt and talk down to your race. TNT made you put on a wig. Now you're acting like you never had trouble with pigs.
Well, listen, man, I don't get caught up in all of that junk, to be honest with you. I accept. I told you, being famous is like being a homecoming queen. All the ugly girls hate you. I've never heard of Willie D, and don't worry about what people say. I mean, I understand who I am, but it's all good, man. I mean, I accept who I am. I'm famous. People are not going to like me because they life suck or they're going to try to make money on me. That's how this thing works.
I got you. Hey, listen, man, I have no problem with anything you do, man. You're my man. And let me ask you about it.
Hey, dude, I'm going to do my job. You know, I mean, some people are like, I'm going to talk. The Rockets are awful. So I don't take that personally. I'm not going to get on TV and say the Rockets are good. So, I'm not overly concerned about Willie D. You think that's his real name?
Yeah, no, I don't know who Willie D is either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't either.
Chuck, let me ask you about Philadelphia as a basketball town, because the last 2 days since this thing broke, since they got the number one pick, and since there's all this speculation, everybody on earth wants to talk basketball now, wants to talk about the Sixers. Is this a good basketball town in your estimation?
It's a great basketball town when you're winning. Philadelphia's a great town for any sport when you're winning. And it sucks when you're losing because they're going to crucify you. But that's how it is, man. That's the thing. It goes back to this fool, Willie D. When you win, people are going to say great things about you. When you lose, people are going to say bad things about you. That's the way this thing works. It ain't right. It ain't wrong. That's just how fame is. Anytime you're on a professional team, that's the way this thing works. If your team winning, you're going to get praised. When your team lose, you're going to get killed.
Does that make you a front runner as a fan, or does that make you a good fan?
It's a combination of both. You know, I'm so excited Allen Iverson going into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It's well-deserved. He's one of the greatest players ever. But as I told him before, you know, nobody complained about him practicing when the Sixers were winning and making it to the finals. But as soon as they start losing, they complain about him not going to practice and things. That's just how this game is. You have to be smart enough to understand the foolishness of fame, I call it. I mean, it's all like smoke and mirrors. Like I say, AI didn't start missing practice when the Sixers started losing. he was missing practice probably when they were making it to the finals, but nobody complained. But that's just the way this business works, man. You know, you don't get caught up in the nonsense of fame.
I hear you. All right, man. So back to the NBA finals. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers, the outright winner. You got them in six games over, whether it's the Thunder or whether it's the Golden State Warriors.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you know, when you come back this summer, you know, we got to sit down and do another show together, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, we're going to do one every year, my brother.
Right. And the last time I talked to you, you were boning up on the Spanish language.
Not going well right now, my brother.
It's not going well?
I've been busy, Mike. I've been busy. I haven't got around to it.
Really? So if I said, give me the Spanish word for please, you know that, right?
No, I wouldn't know that.
That's por favor.
Oh, Mike, somebody told you that. You didn't know.
No. Come on, man. I had 3 years of Spanish. I'm ahead of the game a little bit.
Yeah, you know those little trick words like that. You don't know, like, real Spanish.
I know real Spanish. I know adios.
Yeah, muy bien, gracias.
I know, muy bien, gracias.
Yeah. I tell you what, I got to learn Spanish. I got to go, because I'm going to Cuba as soon as the season's over. I'm going down there for a week to 10 days to see it before America go in there and butcher it. So I'm going to go down there. So I'm going to hopefully learn some while I'm there.
Well, come on, man. You got to get down to it. You got a lot of free time off the set. Dude. Like, during the set, you should be on Rosetta Stone.
Dude, well, I'm watching highlights and stats when I'm on the set. And I got a couple of days off now, and I got something to do.
All right, well, get on it, man. Escuchen, por favor. That means listen. Yeah.
How do you say I'm heading to Vegas as soon as I get off the phone with you? How do you say that in Spanish?
I headed to Vegas as soon as I get off the phone.
That's exactly right. As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'll be at that blackjack table in the next 3 or 4 hours.
All right, man. Well, good luck to you.
All right, man. I need it, man. I need some good cards this week.
All right. Thanks, Charles, for coming on. We'll talk to you.
No, man. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. There he is, the great Charles Barkley on the Comcast Business Hotline.